Today's Shir Bishbur Yomi is Siman Tav Tzadi Hey. We're up to Sif Dalid. Now, in order to understand this Sif, which we'll do today and tomorrow, an introduction is in order. This might be familiar to Johnson, if he remembers from Shabbos. And those of you who might have learned the halachas of Muksa might be familiar with it as well. So, we are all familiar with the Isser Shabbos that you have on Shabbos in Yom Tov called Muksa. We know that from when we're little kids. And generally, we think of Muksa as an Isser of Tiltli. You can't move Muksa on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now, what most don't appreciate, though, is that the Isser of Tiltl Muksa, moving Muksa, is not really at its core, meaning the Iker Issa of Muksa is not really moving Muksa. In fact, Tiltl Muksa is actually an additional Gzeira added by Nehemiah, by Chazal, that one shouldn't move Muksa. And it's an additional gzeira for something else entirely. Maybe gzeira, shama you'll come to hotza, or according to the Rambam and others, it's a general gzeira of Shabbos, not to do activities that are malacha-like. So, what we really need to understand before we get into these halachas of muktzah is what is the core concept of the Isser Muktzah, and with that we can understand the machlokes of Yehuda and Shimon, and then we'll be able to start. So what is this core concept of the Isser Muktzah? So Rashi actually in Beitza, in one opinion in the Gemara there, actually holds that Muktzah is a Daraisa. Tosas argues that all hold that it's the Rabbanan, but regardless, there's a pasuk in the Torah, V'chinu es asher yaviyu, where Rashi says that pasuk by the man, which talks about how Bnei Israel had to prepare the man, which they were going to use for Shabbos. So from here we learn out that you're not supposed to, this is what Rashi says, this is what all the Farshim say, that from here, again, just a shalom, it's the Raisa, the Rabbanan, most of the Rabbanan, that you're not supposed to use something on Shabbos that was not really meant for Shabbos use. Things that were out of the realm of use. It is considered what they call eino mina muchan, outside a person's realm of use for Shabbos. One idea might be that by using it on Shabbos, it's as if a person is like creating something, a new use that didn't exist on Shabbos. But whatever it is, notice the core concept is you need something muchan for use on Shabbos in order to go ahead and use it. And therefore, there'll be an issur of using. When it comes to food, the classic type of usage would obviously be consuming it, eating it, okay? Or if it came to, let's say, an animal, it would be like shechita, consuming it. That would be the daraisa. Okay, utilizing it for its use, I guess with a kli, be using it for its purpose. That's the pure muktzah concept. Then Chazal came, and that's why it's most practical, because Chazal came and said anything that has the status of muktzah, it's not muchan for use on Shabbos, it has the status of muktzah, cannot be moved on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Now, the question is, what is muktzah, and what is something that is not muchan for use on Shabbos, on Yom Tov? And on this, there are major machlokesim on a lot of different muktzahs throughout Shas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The basic statement that they usually say is that Rabbi Yehuda has muktzah and Rabbi Shimon less lay muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda has muktzah and Rabbi Shimon doesn't have muktzah. Now, it doesn't really mean that Rabbi Shimon doesn't have muktzah. Everyone has their things that they hold is muktzah. So what does it mean, Rabbi Yehuda holds of muktzah, and Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of muktzah? So, for starters, we'll get to more as we go on in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Mishnah Berurah. But for starters, two of the most basic machlokesim revolve what's called muktzah machmas mius. And well, let's talk about muktzah machmas mius. What's muktzah machmas mius? So you have like as follows: a person, okay, will probably not want to use a kli that's gross. It sounds like it's ichy. Yeah, it's all full of wax. They have by a nair that might be full of wax that you might not want to use, or it's, let's say, embedded with grease. It's gross. So the basic kli is usable for its purpose. Like, you could still use this nair for lighting, Shabbos Yom Tov candles or something. You could use it to light something, let's say, on Yom Tov. You're right, you're allowed to light and kindle. You could use it, but it's gross. So you're not going to use it, pashtus, but you could use it. So Rabbi Shimon holds that something that's muktzah machmas mias is not muktzah because basically it's a usable kli. But Rabbi Yehuda holds it is muktzah because Rabbi Yehuda's basic position is that anything that you didn't expect to use on Shabbos is muktzah. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. That's what it means that Islay Mukzah Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, however, he holds that a person is not going to be Makzah Midi Dechazilei, things that are basically Roy for use. And again, it's going to get subtle, but something that is basically usable, you do not push away, it's not Mukzah. And it's going to be considered Mukhan for use and not Mukzah. Now, so we have this case of Mukzah Machmas Mi, is a classic example. You can still use the Kli, but it's gross. So you probably, are not going to want to use it. But now you decide you want to use it, or you want to move it, Right? Because if it's Mukzah, you can't move it. So can you move it? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't be able to. According to Rabbi Shimon, you would. Now, if something gets to the point where, the nature of the Kli is that you wouldn't move it. Like, for example, something that's called a Mukzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. Let's say a very, very expensive painting, okay, that you normally don't move for anything, or a shechita knife on Yontif. Sorry, a shechita knife on Yontif, a shechita knife on Shabbos. So you can't use it for shechita, and you're not going to use it for anything else because it's very expensive. You're going to damage it. Right? So that's something called Mukzah Machmas Chisaron Kis that even Rabbi Shimon would agree this is not an item that is a usable kli on Shabbos, a shechita knife. Or a very, very super expensive Rembrandt or something. Okay, so that's one machlokes by Mukta Machmas Mius. Another example of this machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda are by, for example, let's say you have a usable object or a food that you put in storage to be used for a later time, for a way, way later time, not for a party sometime. Or food, let's say you own a store and it's merchandise that you expect to do business with. So you don't basically, plan on eating this food. So that's another example. Rabbi Yehuda holds that's Mukzah because you're Makzah from your Das. You don't person, right? So I used to have an ice cream truck. My kids used to eat up all the ice cream during the week. But usually if you have an ice cream truck, that ice cream is not to be eaten. That's to sell. Okay? So you go ahead and you take that. Is that ice cream going to be Mukzah? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Mukzah. According to Rabbi Shimon, what do you mean? It's good, regular good ice cream. Okay? So that's another example. You put it away in storage, like for a party. Food, or let's say you have a freezer. You have your freezer in the garage, and you have your freezer in your house, right? So the freezer in the garage, that's for like who knows when, okay? So, but you have ice cream in there, and you thought you had ice cream. You thought you had ice cream in your regular freezer, okay? So and you didn't. So now you want to go take that ice cream that was going to be for Shlomi's Fafel's birthday party 2 weeks from now. That's another machlokas of Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't be able to take it, okay? You wouldn't be able to even move it. Well, according to Rabbi Shimon, you could, because it's basically good shtark ice cream. However, even there, there's something called grogeros v'tzimukim. We're going to see it mentioned here. That even Rabbi Shimon is moda, for example, let's say with your yadayim, you take figs or dates or grapes, or whatever it is, and you want to dry it out on the roof. So there, since you're taking it with the yadayim and you're putting it up on the roof and it goes through a stage where it first becomes inedible and then edible, so that even Rabbi Shimon is moda, that it becomes food that is totally set aside and from usage, and therefore even there, Rabbi Shimon will be moda and agree that like by Gogeras and Simukin, even though it's a normal, let's say normal fruit that you put in a storage chest, okay, or bottles of wine that you have locked away in a cellar somewhere, that won't be Mukzah according to Rabbi Shimon, but Grogeris v'tzimukin, where the Yadayim, you put fruit up to dry in the sun, and it goes through a stage of inedibility, okay? And now, all of a sudden, now you have these, dried fruit on Yom Tov, or Shabbos, on the ceiling, that, even Rabbi Shimon would hold, that is considered Mukzah. Okay, so that's the basic machlokes, and as we're going to see right now, is a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. If we pass in like certain Rishonim, what Rishonim are we going to be talking about? There are Rishonim that actually hold that even though we pass in like Rabbi Shimon, we only pass in like Rabbi Shimon by Shabbos. But by Yom Tov, we don't pass in like Rabbi Shimon. Why? Shabbos is more chamor. That's exactly the point. Since Yom Tov, Melacha and Melechas El Chol Nefesh is mutter, is okay, so we're afraid, Chazal, we're afraid that if we let you just go ahead and, most items will not be mukta, so you might come to, chas v'shalom, thinking that there's nothing, that there's no malacha that's aser at all on Yom Tov. So they, therefore, they wanted to heighten the things that you weren't able to move and things like that on Yom Tov, and therefore they were more machmir on Yom Tov, and therefore they paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that mukta machmas mius, that usable objects that you put in storage and things like that would be mukta on Yom Tov, but would not be mukta on, okay, on Shabbos. So that's what we're going to see now. With this introduction, we should be able to get through. We only have to get through the first couple of sifkatans here, because again, I want to get up to at least sifkatan, okay, chaf, okay, or yeah, yutes. So let's see. Mukta afal pisha mutter b'Shabbos hechmiru bo b'yomtov va'asruhu. So here he goes. Mukta, even though it is mutter on Shabbos, hechmiru bo b'yomtov. They were machmir. Chazal were machmir. Then on Yom Tov, it's going to be awesome. Meaning we pass like Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Shimon when it comes to Mukta. Okay? That on Yom Tov, we will pass like Rabbi Yehuda and we will ask for Mukta. Now, it's very deceiving when you read this if you don't know what you're talking about. You didn't have this introduction or you didn't read the Mishnah Berurah, which we're going to see. It sounds like Mukta is totally okay on Shabbos. But Johnson knows we had so many simanim in Hilchas Shabbos, and Mukta is asa. So again, everyone holds certain things are Mukta on Shabbos. For example, things that are totally Mukta Machmas Atmo, like stones and rocks, sticks and stones in the street. Everyone holds is Mukta on Shabbos, because that's what's called Mukta, right? Total Mukta. Total innate mukta, where the item itself has no use. Okay, it's not a kli, it's not food. So it's an item that is, by definition, an item not to be used and set aside and mukta. So there, everyone, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, of course, hold that that's mukta even on Shabbos. What we're talking about is the things that we just discussed before: mukta machmas mius, and the usable objects that you put in storage. In other words, this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Yehuda says that anything you didn't expect to use on Shabbos is mukta, and Rabbi Shimon says no, even if you didn't expect to use it, but it's basically roi, that, and therefore it's not mukta. That's where we say that mukta on Shabbos is going to be mukta because we pass it like Rabbi Shimon, but on Yom Tov it's going to be aser. Comes the Ramah now, and the Ramah says the yesh matirin mukta afilu be Yom Tov. Comes the Ramah and says, and there are those that are matir mukta, meaning there are those that paskin like Rabbi Shimon, even by Yom Tov, when it comes to mukta machmas mius and usable objects that you put in storage. Let's see. Sifkan Tesval, which should go very quickly. Mukta afal pishahu mutter v'chulei. Perish. Vilael b'simen shin yud. In Hilchas Shabbos, Mizbayar, we explained the yesh kama minei mukta, that there are a number of mukta that are mutarin b'Shabbos, that are mutter b'Shabbos, because we follow Rabbi Shimon. Kemo mukta machmas sha'omeg l'schara, like mukta that you put a, that is set aside as merchandise. You own a store, so that we say that type of mukta. If you own a store and it's set aside, you wouldn't normally go to your store to get food, but we pass like Rabbi Shimon that you can go ahead and you can take food that was designated as merchandise and weren't planning on using. Oh, b'shechnisu la'otzar, or food that you might have put in storage. The ein daito listapek bimenu ala charzman, right? Food that you put away in a freezer for a birthday party. So that we say on Shabbos we paskin like Rabbi Shimon that it's going to be mutter. Oh, mukta machmas mius. Or if you have something like we said mukta machmas mius, where let's say you have a gross, you know, let's say cup for, you know, that you never normally use to drink from because it's gross. Okay, but you can drink from it. So Rabbi Shimon would hold that it's okay to use and to move, and therefore on Shabbos it's going to be okay. But Rabbi Yehuda would answer it, but we pass it like Rabbi Shimon, and on Shabbos it's mutter. That's what it means, mukta afal pisha mutter b'Shabbos. He says, "V'ol kama gavni ach kol ze kilu." He says the Shulchan Aruch dafke b'Shabbos, only on Shabbos. Why? Dechamer leinchi, because Shabbos itself people view it as something very chamor. The lo chayshina and the Chazal were not concerned in nekel if we're nekel like Rabbi Shimon letaltel davar mukta to move things of mukta. Yavol lahakel, you're going to come in, you're going to be nekel b'shari yisurei Shabbos. They weren't concerned. So therefore they said we could pass it like the ikar alach like Rabbi Shimon. Aval b'yom tov dewat dekilile, but yom tov which is they're more nekel people in general, because why? Because Shaharei Harbei Malachos Mutarim Lo Lifter Ol Nefesh, because people are more lax there, because there are so many Malachos that are allowed because of Ochel Nefesh. V'negel Abimukta, if we're Megel in Mukta like a Rishimon, Yavol Lahakel Gam B'Shar Yisru Yomtiv, people will come and be Megel even on the other Yisru Yomtiv, and actually do Malachachas B'Shalom. L'fichach Asru Lo Chachamim L'Tal Talachim. Remember, the Chachamim came and said that the Mukta that's ordinarily Mutter on Shabbos, Mukta Machmas Mias, or Peros that I'll put away in the Otsar, that is going to be usher on Yom Tov to go ahead and move any ulefiz svara zoo, according to the svara. So he gives another very practical example. Behema ha'umedes l'chalava. What happened to be having a dairy cow that's basically used for milking? Or tarnagolas l'beitzasa, or you have a chicken coop where you basically don't check the chickens, you use them for eggs. Vishor shel charisho, or a ox that's for plowing. So none of those animals are for shechita, right? But can they be used for shechita? Are they living animals that are going to be yummy if you eat them? Yeah, maybe not as yummy because they're like, you know, supposedly dairy cows are not as tasty. Those are the burgers they eat in McDonald's. But the point is, it's edible food. But it's not something that a person has in mind to go ahead and shech. So practical machlokes here between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Because the Shulchan Aruch says, "Aser l'shachtan b'yomtiv." It's going to be aser l'shachtan on yomtiv, because we pass like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to yomtiv. Ad shiachino sam l'kach, until you go ahead and designate it for use before yomtiv, me'erev yomtiv, and before yomtiv. V'chein kol ki gavna. Therefore, anything like it, this type of muksa, you'd have to do something of a chana. Tzarich chana b'bod yom, right? If you have things in a storage cell that you normally don't take out on, you know, except for some other time, and you have no. You normally would not take it out on Shabbos. You'd have to be making it, okay, for Yom Tov, but you wouldn't have to making it for Shabbos, because Shabbos we pass like a Bishimon, but Yom Tov you'd have to go ahead and designate it. V'davishu mukta machmas nolad. Now something that is mukta based on nolad, that's pshita da asla dasa mechaber b'Yom Tov. That is something that's for sure going to be usher according to the mechaber on Yom Tov. Now what's nolad? So now we need another little very quick intro, okay? Because there's another machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but the halacha there is going to be more complicated because the Rishonim, okay, there are a whole slew of different opinions with respect to nolad and the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Now, before we understand anything about nolad and the machlokes, we have to understand that there are two different types of nolad. There's what's called nolad gamur and ordinary nolad. Nolad gamur, absolute nolad, are items that were not here at all before Shabbos or Yom Tov, such as, let's say it was a fire, now there's ashes. So there was no ashes before Yom Tov. Now all there is ashes. So, and ashes, that these ashes did not exist before Yom Tov. Or newly laid eggs, or freshly produced, right, milk. That's considered, again, there are shayos in the Gemara, but that for our purposes is considered nolad gamur. And there, when it comes to nolad gamur, everyone, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, agree that that's mukta. But that is ordinary nolad. For example, items that were in existence but changed and assumed a new form on Shabbos or Yom Tov. For example, you had chicken. So chicken has bones in it, right? So when it has bones in it, it's chicken. But what happens after you night, you know, you eat the chicken up and all you got left is bones. And these bones, per se, you know, people do not, you know, eat bones. The bones are only... It's a particular type of, you know, animal or chicken or whatever it is that people will not eat bones, and it's only dog food. So dog food is not mukta, right? It's dog food, but it wasn't dog food before Yom Tov and before Shabbos. It was chicken, but now you have dog food. So that's not nolad gomor. That's ordinary nolad because it was in existence. It's just now the chicken changed form into dog food. Or for example, let's say you have chicken that gets spoiled, and now it's only edible for dogs. So again, if it was spoiled before Shabbos, it wouldn't be muktzah, it's dog food. But on Shabbos, it now took on new form, and it's now dog food. So with respect to ordinary nolad, there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether ordinary nolad is going to be muktzah or not. So now we'll see. So comes the Mishnah Berurah here, and he said, Pshita de'asla basa b'chad Rabbi Yom Tov. He says that when it comes to, okay, Yom Tov, according to Shulchan Aruch, who asks Mukta of Rabbi Yehuda, for sure he will answer the Rabbi Yehuda Mukta of Nolad, of ordinary Nolad. Okay? Sifkaton Tes Zayin, the Yesh Matirin, so this is the Ramah, v'chulei, the Lo Chamir Mishabbos. It's not more chomor min Shabbos. Rama says that the same way all those muktzas are muktzah machmas mias and peros la'otzar and things that were put away to be stored away, we're makel on Shabbos. We're also makel, and it's not going to be muktzah on Yom Tov either. And the Magen Avram agrees. Chasav Magen Avram, the chenu gam kein dasar marshal. The marshal is also makel. The chen pasach gam a pri chadash, and so too the pri chadash also was makel. Now they're all makel by that type of muktzah. However, go back to the Rama, and this will finish. Aval nolad, he says now something wild. When it comes to nolad, back to the Rama, asur ledivreim afilu b'shabbes. So he comes here now and he says that when it comes to nolad, that's going to be asur, according to these yesh matirin, even on Shabbos. And here the Mishnah Berurah goes and he says, this is a major machlokes. Because again, according to the Rama here, he says nolad, ordinary nolad. This is not the nolad gomer. Nolad gomer we know is going to be usher on Shabbos and Yom Tov. He's saying, sorry, nolad gomer is for sure usher. But even ordinary nolad, he says, is usher even on Shabbos. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkan Yitzayim, Ledivrayim. It says, Va'af diyesh poskin. And he says, and even though there are poskin, Shematirin af b'muktzav the nolad, even though there are poskin that are matir, even by muktzah of ordinary nolad, like Rabbi Shimon, Harama lo ratza letvos kedatam bazeh. The Rama did not want to hold like him. Ela ka'osam poskin, rather like what? Like those poskin, the machmir, that are machmir al kolponim, b'muktzah de nolad. He was machmir for the poskin that asered and made muktzah out of nolad, out of ordinary nolad, out of regular nolad, not even nolad gomer. He asered it both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Because of achronim, the avshe b'Shabbos naktina li'ikir la'hatir afilu muktzah nolad is very important. He says the achronim write that when it comes to Shabbos, we're makel by ordinary nolad. The low kabbalah svarazu, not like the Rama here. Mikomakom biyom tov ein lahatir al kolpanim b'muktzah de nolad. He says you should not be matir regular ordinary nolad on yom tov. Ulefizet ein letaltel atzamo shenisparku min abasa biyom tov. He says therefore a big chiluk between Shabbos and yom tov. If you have, let's say, bones or food that became edible for dogs on Yom Tov, but were originally in a different form at the onset of Shabbos and Yom Tov. So on Shabbos, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be muktzah, but on Yom Tov, we're going to paskin that ordinary nolad is going to be muktzah. Afal pi shehein ru'uyin leklavim, even though they're ra'i for dogs, because it's nolad. Because the day before, when it was attached to the chicken and the meat, it was right for a people. And now it's a new food. This is what we call the ordinary regular nolad. So just to sum up very quickly, and we're going to end. Comes out as follows. That there's what's called nolad gamur. Nolad gamur is something that like ashes or eggs that were laid, freshly produced milk. That's muktzah on Shabbos, according to all. That's muktzah on Yom Tov, according to all. No problem. That's it. That's nolad gamur. Then we have ordinary nolad, like an example we gave of, let's say, food that spoils and now becomes edible for dogs. So the basic food was there, but it changed form. So there is a whole slew of machlokism here. The Rama actually holds that would be muktzah, okay, even on Shabbos. Others say no, that would be, we paskin, would not be muktzah, ordinary nolad on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov, it would be muktzah, okay, because again, we're more machmir on Yom Tov with respect to muktzah. Ad Khan, I think we did very good with this. Sorry for the extra couple of minutes, but we got it in there. Okay, Ashikayach, man.